Except at least if it does, I don't know how to, I haven't figured out how to dish out what it works to reflector or what it does, but I don't have wires X set up. I don't have the, you gotta have the PC, you gotta have the HRI 200, I think, to be able to do that, and I don't know whether I want to dedicate a computer to do that or not. That sounds like it's a lot more trouble than it's worth to me. It has, it did show all the nodes or whatever you call them on there, and I just picked out the mirror link, which is the primary one most people use. It's fairly busy. It operates a little differently than they do the D-Star stuff, though. It's a little different. You gotta, you just gotta figure out their protocols. The protocols are a little different. But otherwise, it sounds, the audio sounds good. And, like I said, I'm pretty happy with the radio. It's, I probably shouldn't pay what I did for it, but, it's solid. It's got good audio. I don't know how the transmit audio is on it, but the receive audio seems to be really good.
Well, now I suppose it sounds really good. Yeah, and I, back when I set mine up to do Fusion, that was one of the talk groups, or one of the groups that I hit, one of the reflectors I hit was AmeriClean. And the other one was like Carolina Talk or something like that. It was actually pretty good. You see, not bad.
Yeah, three like Carolina. Whatever you call them, servers or reflectors. I'm going to call them reflectors until otherwise, but they have three of them in Carolina, one reflector up to Carolina Net, and I think there are two others as well. They had a net going on tonight on the Maryland, which is the International Wires X net, and it had a bunch of check-ins on that. But as I said, the audio, I'm getting reports of good audio on Fusion through the iSpot, but I don't know how it is on analog. I'm a little, sound a little hoarse right now, but I know with audio, it's set on normal. This has only got three settings on it. It doesn't have multiple settings like some of the other radios do. And I'm not really talking too loud on it, I don't think, but I didn't know with audio it was muddier or what.
Got a little bit of crackly, but I don't think that's you either, so. Yeah, it does. It sounds really good. On normal, it sounds perfectly normal. So there you go. Yeah, and I was going to say too before, I couldn't do wires X through the open spot either. Don't know if any of that will change with the new one, but we'll see hopefully shortly.
It was a little crackling on the repeater tonight too. I noticed a little bit on your signal that I don't notice it kind of fades in and out. It'll get solid and it'll fade out. It's probably propagation, I guess, too. And maybe the wind's been blowing this afternoon here. I guess it is up your way, too. I've been watching your APRS, too, Beacon, and watching Stacy. Well, I actually got Stacy direct yesterday, but I hadn't tried it today yet, you know, because I was trying to figure out, trying to get the Fusion figured out. But I like the radio pretty well so far. It's easy to read, and it's got receive audio is really good on the fan. Seems to run on it a good bit when I'm running 25 watts, but that's kind of normal, I suppose. And I can run 50 on there on my power supply that I've got, and it doesn't seem to do much of a stretch on it, but it does have a, the thing about these radios, the year Yeezys is on the mobile rigs, and I've heard this about several of them, is that when you're on the 440 band, you can sound like a relay's clicking on and off whenever you key it up. And I noticed that one, this one, I've noticed on a couple other ones as well. N4DJC.
ask either one of y'all. If I go to the raw package, can I go back and see where I hit and where it hopped to just by looking at? I haven't been able to figure out if you can do that or not. Over.
Be able to. I think it's like the first call sign you see is where you initially hit. There is a Q code towards the end of it that will, but it's weird because it's case sensitive, but there's a particular one that if it was received directly on that radio, then it'll be a specific Q code. I forget what it is. I think it's Q capital A capital R or something like that.
There's two. I hit GSPSC, just like what I see you do, since I went to Y2-2. And I could have put one more hop in there a while ago. It could have went straight from 6 miles straight to Charleston. I want to go back and look, is what I'm trying to figure out. Over.
It should show them all. Some of the things I don't know how to, I really be honest with you, I didn't get in deep enough to interpret what those mean. But I know if I have on mine, I set up on mine for my status, I put, live op. And for some reason, mine's got an underline too after, and I can't for the life of me remember how to get that off. I don't know where I have to put more stuff on it and put more characters on it. I don't recall that at all. I know I had that trouble before. It also is not showing up the radio on it. I'm going to have to dig into it and see what's not set up right. And I kind of just, I set my APRS yesterday. I just kind of breezed through it pretty fast and didn't really look at the manual that much. But I'm going to have to go back and do some ciphering on it to see what I probably did wrong.
Not sure how to go back and look because I've been on it now and anything. I mean, it don't show me nothing on the map. I don't see where I hop from as far as that goes.
I think it was Chad talking to you last night, Jerry. He was talking about information being hard to find. He might have been talking about particular devices that he was referring to, but I find it the same way. I really geek out over this kind of stuff and digging around on APRS.org. I wish somebody would take that fragmented information and make a Wikipedia page out of it or something. Over.
Well, that stuff hadn't been updated. Some of it's kind of old and it's not as concise as it should be. It's got a lot of links you can hit, and then you hit one link, you hit another one. It's just, it's like a rabbit hole almost, but it's still interesting. I would love to have gone to one of Bob's seminars when he used to do seminars in the Atlanta area a time or two years ago, and he also did them at Dayton from time to time, and maybe in Huntsville as well. But I'd love to go to one of his seminars to learn more about. Be able to ask questions from a guy that basically develops the stuff. But it is kind of confusing to me, and I'm not sure. I think the protocols are pretty much standardized, but there's every time they come out with a new radio, it's got a new, the radio's got a new code or something in it, where it comes up and shows whether it's a 705 or shows whether it's a YZ radio or whatever it is. And those, sometimes the newest radios, it doesn't show what they are, but I'm not sure, I'm not sure how to change that, or if you can change it, or if that's just something that the APRS.fi has to update over a period of time.
I would have loved to have seen some of the seminars too, but I hate that we ain't got that chance anymore, but But yeah, the a lot of stuff I've been looking for, like deep into the protocol stuff, you'll find a link, and you click the link, and it's basically a text file that Bob dumped to his website there. Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that needs to be broken out into a, got up front into a web page instead of clicking through the text file. So it'd be a lot easier to follow it all that way. It seems like somebody did an APRS wiki, but it's down now, so I guess it didn't make it or something. Go ahead, Stacy.
It's kind of scrolling around. I can't find it for what I'm trying to get into my head, but it ain't no big deal, though.
Crawfish etouffee and a little top steak. And we're kind of stuffed about now.
Eat like a king and queen there now. That's three of my favorites. I love crawfish etouffee. It's good if it's not too terribly hot. I want it to have meat. I can't take the heat like I could at one time, but I love that stuff. My son-in-law does too. And we were supposed to go to she's actually our grandniece. She's getting married in Louisiana in July, and we just can't go. It's just too far. I'm not going to fly with all the stuff that's going on now, and it's somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. I might have to, make a couple skips and hops across there, and plus it's so expensive. I think my wife's sister's going to drive then and offer to drive her down there. She said she was telling me that's a long drive to where, I don't know where they are in Louisiana, Keith, you recognize it. I can't remember the name of the place now. But it's, I think it's about a 10 or 12 hour drive, maybe longer than that. Lynn's first cousin got married, and his wife is, her daddy was a doctor, of some renown somewhere in the Baton Rouge area, somewhere down there, and they had this huge house back on the bayou somewhere, we weren't able, my mother was not doing well then, we weren't able to go, but the people at Lynn said they just threw a shindig. It was just unbelievable. Yeah, they showed me some pictures of the place. It looked like some mansion out of the old South. Instead of when they said bayou, I said, maybe it's like a little, backwater house. But it wasn't no backwater house. This thing was huge.
There's one thing them folks know how to do is throw a party. No matter if it's at a house or several blocks in the town. They will have a festival at a drop of a hat. I guess that's part of what I like being out there, and of course, good food. Go ahead, Stacy.
Looking around, I went to messages on this thing, Jerry, and it just shows N4DJC-10 over to me. And that's about five of them. And then when I answered you back, it sent mine out, let's see, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times. So then I think I went in there and deleted it out because I didn't want it to just keep on doing that, though.
N4DJC. Yeah, like I said, I'm not sure how many times those things try to beacon out to do it, but I got my beacon set on 10 or 20 minutes, maybe 20. I think I got my beacon set on 10 minutes right now. And like I said, it's been a while since I just don't know the menu system on this radio very well yet at all, so it's going to take some time for me to figure it out. But it is a lot different than the Kentwood. By far is the easiest to deal with on the menu system that they have on their radios. The 710, 700, and the 74, 72. Well, 74 is probably the easiest one of the bunch because it's got a full-size keypad. But this one's a little different. It's going to take me some time to figure it out. But it's working, and I'm receiving a bunch of stuff. But I also got my antenna pointed towards Caesar's Head instead of towards you, Station. When I turned it around the other direction is when I heard you directly on the... I heard you. You didn't go through Nygate. You came directly to me that time. But I think last time I've got a beacon from you today was probably around... probably 5 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock, something like that.
Well, when you sent yours out at 10:04, and then 10:05, 10:06, 7 and 8, that's 5 times. This radio I'm on will send it out 5 times, and then I'm not sure what it does later that, but mine came out to you like 12:01, 12:03, 12:04, 12:06. And then it went out, it says 6:06, 24, 25, 28, 28, 29, 30. But it had a message with it each time. So I'm a little bit confused on it myself, Jerry-O.
Keith, does that sound like it? Would that indicate to you that it's not hitting an eye gate? I mean, you won't get it direct. That would indicate it's not hitting the eye gate. Is that correct, or what's your thoughts on that? Upstairs bedroom. So I'm up about 25 feet, I guess, and just pointing through the roof because I don't have any metal on that side of the house. Don't have any windows, anything that have any reflective, you know, stuff on it. So it gets out pretty good in that direction, but I want to point it back towards Stacy, which is almost be off the back of this little beam. It gets a little more difficult because I've got windows that have got that solar film type film, you know, to keep the UV out, and that's in the windows. So that's kind of, I would imagine, that's kind of a reflective RF, I imagine.
Yeah, Stacy, I was gonna tell you that last over of yours, I've got you.
I haven't beat you up yet through a gate yet, Keith. I'm gonna move my antenna around a little bit. Maybe tomorrow we're gonna be headed over to Malden tomorrow after lunch, and I'm gonna do some experimenting over the next 2 or 3 days and move it around a little bit and see if I can pick anything up direct on, you know, at least from the gate on the other end. Because you and Stacy both are getting in that Carnesville really well, but I'm just too low, I guess. I'm not high enough off the ground. I can't clear the trees and stuff here, and I'm sure that's why you guys are getting into that eye gate, and I'm not.
Roll through it and see you on there. still around, Steve? He killed his battery or something.
Sure, if you hollered at me, I had to go take my medicine.
Yeah, I guess you didn't hear me then. I was saying on your last over, I had you on the input. You were pushing about an S2 over here. Your audio was a little low, but I could copy you over.
Good deal, I guess.
Turned on, and a little incidental will flash, and you got somebody on the input, so I switched it over, and sure enough, it's about a solid S2, don't know if you could, well, probably complicated for you to do with central crossband, and I keep forgetting about that, okay?
Be interesting to know.
Sure, it coming out of that, Kenwood is probably why I'm able to hear you on this end. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good if you can hear him on input on that far away. But propagation it was real good yesterday. I was listening to the Mount Mission machine yesterday. I think it was yesterday sometime. I got into it, I was running 50 watts and got into it, and I was getting about I was coming in really well. I was almost full quiet into it, and the repeater was coming about almost an S9 on me. That's unusual, but I'm sure the band up in. If I was just a little bit higher up, I think I could probably get stationed on some place more likely, but I don't think I'm quite high enough to do it.
And I was kind of surprised I wasn't getting you on some place, but like I said, probably just being in the house like it is and not quite the height. Well, of course, I probably don't have that much height on mine either. I don't think you'd be too much farther away as the crow flies, but I am getting you. And things like that, something else I was going to say or point out. But my brain, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I've been waiting on my other battery to come for my Gazoo FT60R. I don't know, after Lord of Mercy. I probably mentioned this. It's been 7 years, maybe 8 years, that this battery finally went dead a few weeks ago, and I found one for $20. I argued with the guy. They said make the best offer. And I did, but he wasn't happy with that. But anyway, I ended up getting it for $20, but I'm waiting on that thing to come in. But I really do like that N4 OVQ on that TYT, Lucky.
Another one, then darn if I know what I did with it. I must have sit here, I guess, probably end up throwing it away or something, but I had you another one just in case. I don't remember. I think I printed you some when I brought the other ones back, didn't I?
That one that you put it on there for me, I saw one I got. That just says TYT.
Take a standby here for a minute. I'm out of smoke. I've got to go roll some. So, carry on for yourself for a minute or two.
Yeah, go ahead. Jerry, you still there?
I was fiddling to see if I could hear you on input. And I think I missed the transmission or something. I was going to see if I could hear you on input here for a second. Go ahead and let me swap this thing back and see if I can hear you just by some chance.
Well, yeah, we just kind of been doing the bird thing today. As a matter of fact, the girlfriend, she bought her another feeder and went ahead and got me another feeder, too. I'm about to be feedered out. But it's all fun. She bought her a couple of bags of new kind of food to try, and we just been sitting around being bird watchers.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. But conditions are pretty good. A couple of years, I think I was, there was talking to a lady last night. She was on that Mount Mitchell machine. She was over in Pigeon Forge somewhere, I think. And like I said, it was coming in pretty good last night. I don't think it is tonight. I don't think the band is that great right now. It could be just changes. But Keith's talking about me being not much higher. He's higher than I am. And plus his antenna's out in the open too. And you put an antenna behind anything, even if it's just wood, it still be as good. You know, it always works better outdoors. One of these days I might do something like that, I don't know, before I get too old to fool with it.
World VQ. I was gonna ask you something. Doggone. Man, that gets on my nerves. I had it right on the tip of my tongue, and I was gonna ask you, are you running a hotspot to be on Fusion, or exactly how does that work for you?
I'm running a Pi-Star. It's called a Zoom spot. It's just a Pi-Star. You can set it up to do YSF, you know, Fusion, DMR, D-Star, NXDN, and P25, I think. And the way I understand it is you can, with a Fusion, you can run Fusion, or you can actually cross mode from Fusion to DMR, P25 NXDM, but I don't think this hot spot will be. I think the open spot that y'all talk about, I think that thing will cross. I think it will cross mode from anything to D-Star, even DMR to D-Star now. I think I'm really anxious to see when y'all get your ears in to see how they do.
Him too. I'm gonna have to Keith be my man on that there. I'm gonna have to kind of get him in the grind to see what all he can figure out, which he may not be interested in doing no kind of fusion or none of that, which I am, because I got a Yazoo radio. I just want to see how it works and how well I might like Fusion,
though. I will tell you, the audio is better on Fusion than it is on D-Star. I can't compare it to DMR, because the only thing I got on DMR, I can hear on DMR, is I got a scanner. I got one of those units scanner set up downstairs. I listen on DMR. That's not a real good... That's not a great receiver either. I mean, it's good, but, you know, it does P25 and all that, all the public safety stuff, but the DMR on it, it's not garbled, it doesn't have filters in like a regular radio. It does, it's a little different. It's more like a SDR or something like that. It's not exactly, but it's similar to it. My experience so far with this radio has been on Fusion, been good on it. I've figured out how to get the daggum thing set up. It doesn't give you as much information on the screen like HiCom does for D-Star. But then again, you know, if you go through a repeater, go through a Wires X node, I think it's a whole different ballgame. But, you know, if you get through a Wires X node, you can come at a whole other... You got to buy another piece of equipment. You got to have it hooked up to a PC. And you got to buy, $100 worth of cables to go along with it. I think it's just it's a major league deal. But that's where you get into different rooms. It's kind of like talk groups, I think, Stacy. But you can change the links and stuff you talk through on the hotspot, but you have to change them on hotspots. You can't change them on the radio. They say you may be able to do it, but I'm not familiar enough with it to know yet whether they'll do it or not.
Go ahead, Keith, in 4 Wiki. Go ahead, because I remember what it was. Jerry, you were talking about propagation a while ago, and as I was walking out, I heard you talk about trying to get Stacy on someplace. Did you hear the other night, I think it was Thursday night, when KJ4TL from Casey checked in?
Yeah, there was also a guy from somewhere down the low country that checked in one night this week, too. And he was, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was somewhere down near Myrtle Beach, I think.
I think it was Thursday night. John come in and checked in, and I swore that he was up in Anderson visiting Billy or something, because he sounded as clear as y'all did, and when he said he was actually in Casey still, I was like, what? He checked in again last night, but wasn't near as clear, but it just blew me away that he was still in Casey and just come in and sounded like he was local. Over.
Checked the VHF propagation map when that happened, and everything in this area was orange. And that's good. And it just had a big orange blotch across the state of South Carolina, North Carolina, on up into Georgia. And when I was talking into Mount Mitchell so well, this was like in the early afternoon. This was like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. Well, no, I take it back. It was late last night when it was, because it was probably close. It was after 11 o'clock, I think. And I was surprised. I mean, it was like an S8 or S9, and which is unusual for my location. But yeah, that's what happens sometimes when it gets to me. When that opens up, the production opens up, it's just like you're talking to somebody next door.
But I got a decent laptop sitting here, or at least these are the one I had for the machine. I need to open it up and look for stuff like that. But yeah, that just blew me away. I just talked to John. Billy had repeaters down there. He had several UHF links up to, or at least one UHF link up to Caesar's Head. Back before the tornado, we used to get on there a lot. Dragged you back and forth. And yeah, when he come in and checked in, it sounded like he was coming in through one of the links over.
Here in town to link to multiple readers, but the links are not good, man. Some of them, the audio is so low and I can barely hear them, so I'm not sure. You know, I got where I didn't use it very much because they had the link up all the time and felt like I was interfering with something when I was using it. It's linked up a good bit of the time. Some of the guys sound really good, and I think the guys up in your neck of the woods sound better on it than the guys here locally do, to be honest with you, Keith.
Well, I used to hang out a lot on 4-7. And like I said, up until the tornado comes through Seneca several years back, and it twisted up a bunch of stuff over on Caesar's Head. And Billy just here, I guess, within the last couple of weeks, that they've gone through everything now, so everything is back up to the operation. I tell you, if this is what's strong, I'd probably be right back over there. I do need to visit back over there every now and then, catch up with those folks. But yeah, John's a really nice guy. We sit here and talk late tonight a lot. Go ahead, Dave. Thank you, Jerry, and Toro. OVQ. Is that radio you're on, is that a new radio that just came out, or is it just something that's new to you, or is it a handheld, or is it a mobile, or what?
Came out back in January or so this year. It's a mobile, 50 watts. It's got fusion, and it's got wideband coverage too. It covers up to 900 megahertz, I think, yeah, for receive. Got AM aircraft fan on too. It's also got APRS on it too. That's the main reason I got it. And I had some credit at HRO, so I decided DX Engineering, so I decided to go ahead and try it. It's a little smaller, the faceplate's smaller than 300, but it's real nice and bright, and the audio on this end sounds real good. Like I said, I don't know whether audio on your end sounds good or not, but pretty decent, pretty solid radio, it seems like.
So good to me, absolutely. I'm kind of interested. I want one besides just using this HT all the time in the car or whatever. I want one that does APRS myself. But so maybe I can get with you. You can send me some info on it. If I got it at HRO, send me some info on it, info@yahoo.com.
If I was going to put one in a car, Stacy, I'd go ahead and get to 300. It's about $60 more. You can see them. Oh, you can see people selling them for in the 300, 350 range or so. And that's about what that radio sold for me a few years ago when it came out. But everything's gone up so much now. That radio's almost this 470, 460, somewhere in that range, which is a little too more than I want to pay for one. If I was mobile, though, I'd want that because it's got a true full duplex UHF, VHF, and you can crossband repeat on it. It's got Bluetooth, I think, built in, and it's got that. You can run APRS in the background while you're talking on the radio. You can run fusion on both VSOs. Just a lot more versatile radio. It's just more than I'd need it for one sitting here at the house, because I won't put one in my car.
I got a Yaesu 8800 in the car. Naturally, I got it unhooked now, because every time I go get it, because I want to do APRS, I just take this little handheld out there and hook it up, and just kind of done away with the 8800 over.
Seems like every radio Yaesu comes out with is not quite as, doesn't have quite as many features as the last one did. That's what happened when they came out with the 400. They had the 400, which had a touchscreen. I know Keith's familiar with that one. Then it came out with the 300, which did have a touchscreen. And then it came out with the 200, which didn't have the touchscreen. It's not full duplex. Didn't have dual. I mean, you can run APRS in the background on it, but in order to use it to send messages, you know, to somebody or something like that, you got to switch VFOs from A to B. So that's, in a mobile rig, that wouldn't be worth fooling with, in my opinion. All of those radios have detachable faceplates, so you can put them up, you can put them anywhere. They got good fans on them. They don't run very hot either. And those radios, the 300 and this one too, they're both 54 watts on UHF and VHF, which a lot of radios don't run at 35 on UHF.
Well, you would have thought that 8800 or this B71-810 would have had APRS on them, but I don't reckon they did, not that I can remember of.
Now, Keith, you got a 700 or 710. It's 700 or 710 about the... They may have been the only radios that had mobile that APRS. Is that right, Keith? Do you know or not?
Correct. I think it was just the D model that had the built-in TNC. This one is a 700. And the Kinect, KO4HKX, has got a 710. Like a 710 GA. So it's got GPS built into it. where this one doesn't. So my beacon is just a fixed coordinate beacon, beacon and out, so, which is good because, you know, it's just in here in the house anyway.
This last time I saw one for sale, this thing was almost $800, I think.
Yeah, I looked at, looking at them for a little while, and, that kind of cured me of looking at them. I seen one, I was in a particular swamp, seen one on eBay and went and looked, and it was $1,200. It's like, well, I know I've seen them cheaper than that. Over
17 for a while, and I think I paid $540 for mine. It's been several years ago. And I got stupid and sold it. And this is really good radio, 717, the 710, both those radios are good because you can actually access the TNC on both of those radios, which you can't do on some of the other ones. But those are both really good radios, they're solid. Nobody, you really don't have any trouble, I don't know if anybody had any real trouble out of it. It's hard to upgrade the firmware on them, I think, because you got to use, I think they only have, the only upgrade the firmware is use like a, maybe a, I was a 232, or maybe a 9-pin on the back of the computer you got to use. Maybe I'm not sure if that's right or not. But you had to upgrade the head on them, but it wasn't a major firmware upgrade. I never upgraded mine. But that's one I wish I had back. But hindsight's always 20/20. Go ahead, Stacy.
I'm just still trying to check around on it, see what I can find on here. I'm like y'all, I don't fully understand all of it over.
Sir, I know what you mean, but I kind of nerd out over this stuff, and I still don't understand all of it. Yeah, the fragmented information don't help none. And yeah, Jerry, I'd like to play around with more of the TNC stuff on this thing. I'd like to play around with the packet. I was looking at buying some cables to do some stuff like that. Just because I've never done any, you know, I remember reading articles about guys doing packet radio back before the internet. Now I'd kind of like to revisit that. I know Tony in Fort GOM, Stacy was saying this, and he was saying that, you know, he did packet 30 years ago, so he was pretty active into it. Probably should sit down with him for a while over.
Talking about that last night was a packet, record packet, using a keyboard to keyboard. And I said, gosh, I guess people are still using it, but it's, you know, that hadn't been popping in a long time. But it's always interesting, the guy that got me started on the radio, he got an interesting packet. Probably something, whenever it got hot back in the late 80s or whenever it was, Keith, and he loved using it, and I never got involved in it. But the day the Cantronics, these other TNCs, they do take them things. I mean, they're $400 or $500 or more now, I think, and I'm not sure how active that mode is anyway. But I kind of missed out. I wish I got involved in that because I know I would have enjoyed it, but I probably didn't have enough time to fool with it back then. Go ahead, Stacy.
Only he got in that big time. I never did. I just went on with my little Yazoo, and I stayed on 3927 all the time. Most of those guys are passed away now, but I'm like you, though. I wish I had got into it, and I'd understand a little bit more than what I do now. Oh.
On the price of them, yeah, that is kind of ridiculous. I was looking into, like, maybe doing something with a Raspberry Pi at one time. It's like all the rest of this stuff. You know, there's kind of a standard package out there, but there's not a lot of documentation on it. And I guess that's what I kind of like to do is read up on things before I dive into it. But yeah, maybe I kind of like to have one standalone to where I can plug the audio into any radio and just do it from that.
One time, yeah, you know, there was a bulletin board on board ISS that people could access with the with the APRS at one time. I don't, it's not, I don't think it's available anymore. But, you know, people used to do that too. So that hasn't been that long. That's been the last 8 or 9 years, I guess. And maybe still, you know, when it comes back up again, people may still be able to get into that part of it, but they might have turned it off. I did hear yesterday there were some astronauts on working the ISS repeater yesterday, and of course they don't only just operate on a single frequency, but they just picked up the mic, started talking on the crossband repeater, and people were pretty nice. They hung in there pretty well. I never could. A lot of guys were running high power, I could tell, so I didn't try to get in, but, you know, they've been on several times over the course of the last 2 or 3 days, and that's unusual. They don't usually get on that often.
Pretty cool. And, yeah, I mean, it's pretty neat that, you know, they picked up crossband repeat over there with his handheld. Them guys doing crossband repeat something else. They got quite a footprint there. Yeah, I need to check out Eris a little more often than what I do to try to keep up with that stuff.
Glad that you can hear it. Yeah, you'll be able to hear it on your vertical, I'm sure. Yeah, like I said, you may have to tune it from 810, I think it goes from 815, 810, 805, and 800, 795, and 790, and it sweeps across years. Yeah, you move it to acquisition signal to loss of signal. It's pretty simple to do. You may not, you know, it's loud enough you can hear it on a handheld. And you hear that, then you realize how big and busy it is. Two people just walking all over each other talking. And I have to kind of pick and choose when I get on with 5 or 10 watts, because it's just, I can't compete with this. They shouldn't run that much power, but a lot of guys run 100 watts and just, just like any other repeater, it captures that signal, and there's no way you're gonna go, you know, get on top of them, and they know better doing that. You know, 10 or 15 watts, I mean, a lot of people run 5, and I did for a long time, but 10 or 15 watts is more than enough to capture that signal and get a good signal in, but they just don't, you know, they just talk about it. I mean, you can, and plus all you do is Keith and say, all you do is just exchange call signs and grid squares. You don't have a conversation in 4DJC.
Got that DJC set up with the, you know, shifted frequency limits. You know, I got like ISS -5 to +5 or whatever. But yeah, I've heard them on it several times. Just like you said, you know, I think I was only running 5. I don't even know if I've run 10. Pileups, people walking all over each other. And, I tried when I got a break, but I never could get through them.
So, Fishy, the Saudi satellite is it's a little easier to work because it's got some good passes at night, and not a lot of guys, especially in the wintertime when they don't go outside when it's cold. The wintertime beer is not too bad. It's so not on the ground. Go out in November, December, January, and you can hit that SO50 pretty well. I worked it a bunch of times on 5 watts. I don't think I've ever used more than 5 watts on it. But it does tumble, and it's a little harder. And I don't, when I use my elk or air antenna on it, I have to hand hold it and twist it a little bit. It comes across the sky, because that satellite does tumble. It's not like a, it's not like the space station is. Go ahead, Stacy.
we got it going. I got on THT. I'm on the BZ18 Kenwood.
Good. I still got you on template too.
I got that thing hooked up, one of them battery eliminators, and wire comes out of the bottom of the battery shaped thing, and it's just aggravating to sit here and hold. So I said I'd get off a crossband repeat over.
Yeah, you're still coming in about an S2, of course. That's the radio I was getting it from to begin with, I guess. But, yeah, sounds real good. And I know what you mean about that wire coming out of the bottom of the battery eliminator, because at any time it's the same way, and I couldn't really even use it in the truck because I just stretched the wire all the way over my lap, and it being a new battery eliminator, that the coil cord ain't stretched very much yet, so I basically didn't use it, but I do have two batteries, and the batteries last pretty good.
No, I got one because in the car I can just use it all the time, but the thing about it is, you buy this little old battery case that goes on the back of this HT, and you got to put rechargeable batteries in it. Okay. The rechargeable batteries, we all know, they like, what, 1.2 volts. Well, that's not near enough battery power to run this radio. So what three batteries would it take to get the full voltage out of it, though?
Probably just alkalines, and I don't think you'd want to do that either. I don't know how the battery is on that thing. About the only choice for 1.5 volts. Everything else is going to be 1.2. Unless Jerry has something different. Go ahead, Jerry.
Some lithium ions, it may work like that, but those things, unless you got some type of special charge, those things, they're just dangerous to charge sometimes. And that's the only way you get alkalines. I've used lithium batteries before. Good Lord, those things are so expensive, it's unreal. But they don't have to, I put that in stuff, I don't have to worry about the alkalines, going bad on me, so I put them in something, not anything high voltage. Yeah, that's something, you don't see those battery eliminators on your radios anymore. The last radio I had, thought it must have been a Yaesu 51 or something like that, it was a dual band 40 flex, back in the 90s. I think that's the last radio I had that had a battery eliminator like that.
I think this about the silliest thing I've ever seen Yaesu do is make a little battery thing that you put pre-rechargeable batteries in. It takes 8.4 to 6 volts to run this radio. Well, if you go buy three rechargeable batteries, they're only 1.2. That's only 3.6 volts. After 1 minute, you lose the burst bar. And then you only got two left, and 30 minutes later, your battery is dead. So, what do I need to get to put in this little case to run the radio? Over.
Probably not much you do about it. Like I said, I don't think you want to run alkalines. It's going to eat them like candy. I don't know. And I doubt you'd get an 18650 to go in there, but that's still, it's still only going to be 1.2 volts per cell. How many cells does that thing take?
Got three batteries in it. What was Yaesu thinking?
Yeah, I mean, that's only 3.6 volts. So, I'm not sure what the deal is on that, unless they've got a buck converter. But I mean, when you're jumping it that high, it's going to eat the batteries anyway, so I don't know what you can be able to do about that.
About the only thing you do is receive. I don't know about I think the D-74 I had, I think it had six triple A's in it, but it just didn't run on super low power. I had to get in a hot spot and just receive it. I don't, you know, let's just sell those things to sell them, because I don't see what use they are really, unless you're in dire straits or something like that.